Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. I'm Larry Woods, your host, and we're glad to have you to be a part of the program today. You know, I don't know of any believer who's serious about their spiritual life that doesn't want a deeper life, who doesn't want a closer walk with God, who doesn't want a sense of intimacy, a sense of fellowship and communion with God. But sometimes it seems so elusive in such a fast-paced and busy world. In fact, the whole world seems to be against us taking the time and the effort to really know God the way God desires for us to know Him and the way He wants to know us as well. So we've got a guest today. Her name is Ruth Haley Barton, and she's written a book called Sacred Rhythms, and she addresses the intentionality of a deeper walk with God. So, Ruth, glad to have you with us today.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Again, tell us a little bit about yourself so the audience gets to know who you are.
Well, I am a trained spiritual director, and the voice of my writing is usually in that kind of a voice where a spiritual director is helping people to listen to the invitations of God in their lives and to listen to their deeper spiritual desires and then to guide them into spiritual practices that help them to live their desires and to live lives that are congruent with their desires. So that's my training, and my background is the training that I had in spiritual direction, as well as more academic theological training that I've had. And then I'm an author, obviously. That's why I'm here with you today. And also the founder of the Transforming Center, which is a not-for-profit organization that actually works with pastors and Christian leaders in the area of their own ongoing process of formation and intimacy with God while they're in leadership. So we work with pastors and leaders and also the congregations and organizations they serve in the area of spiritual transformation and helping people deepen their relationship with God.
And you didn't mention this, but you're also a wife and a mom, aren't you?
I am, absolutely. I have three daughters, and they're all married, and we have four grandchildren. But I'm a very young grandmother, I want to say.
I know. We can tell that in your voice.
You can't you? Yep.
So. And I say that because when we talk about the transformed life and sacred rhythms, we have a tendency to think of monasteries and special orders and robes and silence and humming on the mountaintop and things like that. But you're a mom, a mother, and yet you have discovered something and you're working with something that changes people's lives. So let's talk about that. What do you mean by sacred rhythms?
Well, I mean rhythms, patterns, practices that are set apart for a sacred purpose. The word sacred literally means set apart for a sacred or a set apart purpose. And so we can establish rhythms in our lives that are actually set aside or set apart for a sacred purpose, and that purpose is the purpose of opening to God. And so because I am a P on the Myers-Briggs, which means that I like spontaneity and I like to hang loose a little bit, I like the language of rhythms more than rule or even discipline sometimes, because there's a beauty to the language of rhythms, and it speaks to some of the rhythms that we have in nature, like the rhythm of the tides and seasons and night and day, and there's just such a beauty to the rhythms in nature and in the rhythms of the universe. And then, of course, in our human lives, there are rhythms that are absolutely essential for us to be living physically on the planet. You know, the rhythm of our breathing and our heartbeats and our brain waves, those are absolutely necessary rhythms for us to be alive, and when those rhythms stop, we're dead. And I believe that there are rhythms like that in the spiritual life, that they are beautiful, they're compelling, and some of them are absolutely necessary for us to be alive spiritually.
And, you know, I mentioned, I'd written out a question to you to talk about that. I would tend to think of these, if I hadn't read some of your work and others, that these look a lot like rituals, but you wouldn't like that term, would you, that these are sacred rituals?
Yeah, probably not, although I do believe that human beings and human bodies respond really well to ritual. And what I mean by ritual is just things you can count on. So I think the word ritual is just fine. For me, the word rhythms has a certain beauty to it for all the reasons that I just mentioned. And when I think of rhythms, you know, you think of even the rhythm of music and dancing and things like that, that there's just such a beauty to the idea of rhythms, perhaps a little bit more than rituals. A lot of times when people think about rituals, they think about, you know, actions that are kind of dead. They think about being in a dead church where, you know, people are just doing things ritualistically that don't connect, you know, with them emotionally or spiritually. We can go through lots of rituals and yet not have anything happen, you know. Whereas when I think about rhythms, man, I find the rhythms of the universe to be absolutely compelling.
I like that metaphor of the dance. In fact, so much so that my wife and I for Christmas, I gave her 4 dance lessons.
Oh, wonderful. That is fun.
And I told her that the reason is it's a metaphor of rhythm. And that we needed to get into. We needed to learn mm-hmm. this concept of leading and following and sensing the music.
Yes, and giving yourselves over to it. And I think that's the beauty of rhythm, too, is that once you learn the steps of a dance, the point of learning the steps is that so you can give yourself over to it and enjoy it and even improvise some, you know. But you have the basic steps to actually work with.
So what you're actually talking about is, though, you mentioned the word discipline, which you don't like. The bottom line is...
I don't always use it just because, you know, for some people it's a very heavy-sounding kind of a word.
So what you're saying here, though, is these sacred rhythms, as I understand it, actually lead you into a very real kind of freedom in your relationship with God.
Yes, absolutely. And so the word discipline used rightly... can actually work very well, because, like, for you all, you're learning a dance. You're learning how to dance, and there's a discipline involved. But eventually the point of the discipline is to go beyond it to the joy and the improvisation of it and the spontaneity and enjoying each other's company in the midst of it. It's meant to lead towards enjoyment, as you said, and freedom.
I grew up in an environment where this was not an uncommon statement: no Bible, no breakfast.
And
you know, we were pushed to have quiet time every day, and because I think David made a comment that he did it in the morning, then that was where the no Bible, no breakfast came from, and it became that kind of thing. But you're not talking about that, are you? You're going
and
beyond
I think that's
that approach.
One of the reasons
why
I've chosen language that's slightly different is because many of us have grown up in those more oppressive environments where it felt like obligation and have to and being forced and in some cases manipulative, you know, manipulated, you know, like what you just said sounds a bit manipulative, like, you know, we're going to withhold breakfast until you do what we want you to do, which is read your Bible, you know. So I think that the language of rhythms perhaps helps those of us who have been raised in a more oppressive environment to move beyond that to a place where the idea of rhythms feels inviting and winsome and, like I said, joyful and full of enjoyment and some spontaneity in the end and stuff like that.
People write books because they feel a need. What was the need that you were seeing that would cause you to sit and pen a book called Sacred Rhythms?
Well, it was, first of all, a need in my own life, and I talk about that in the introduction or in the first chapter where I talk about being on staff at a church and having this meeting where we were talking about how to get more people to join the church and realizing that we were already requiring so much of the people who were coming. You know, they had to be there on the weekend and in the midweek and serve with their gifts and evangelize and everything else. And I was thinking, wow, people's lives are already so full. And then if they see church as being primarily about taking on all this additional activity, that doesn't seem like a very winsome invitation. What are we really inviting people to? Are we inviting them just into more busyness? Are we inviting them to overload their schedules that are already very full? What are we really inviting them to? And I was aware in that moment, too, of my own journey of coming to a place where I'd been so busy and so overcommitted in the Christian life that I had become completely worn out in my Christian living, you know, in all the things that I felt were required of me as a Christian. And I had come to a place personally where I needed to establish some healthier, saner rhythms for my life, which included, for a time, really backing away from the insistence of some churches towards unworkable schedules. And so I was alert in that moment to the fact that my experience of being overloaded by life in our culture and just layered on then with the heavy demands of life in church, that one of the reasons that we were leading people into an overcommitted lifestyle was because those of us who were in leadership were living an overcommitted, stressed-out lifestyle. And it really did cause me to question, do we even know what we're inviting people to when we invite them into the Christian life and into church? Are we just inviting them into more busyness?
Well, what were you seeing were the negative consequences, say, in your own life and the life of the spiritual leaders that you were working with and church members of having these overly busy, overly committed lives? What was it doing to their spiritual life?
Well, you know, oddly enough, there was no room for God in it. because being busy doing things for God is not the same thing as having a relationship with God. And we know that from, like you mentioned, being married, and I'm married too, or the relationship we have with our kids or with good friends, that doing stuff with a spouse and always being very, very busy, generating an income and cleaning your house and driving kids here and there and going places, that's not the same thing as sitting down and talking to each other, right?
Right.
It's not the same thing as dancing with each other. You know, it's not the same thing as giving each other your full and undivided attention and enjoying one another's company. And that's where I felt I got to in my own spiritual life, is that I was busy for God, and it was squeezing out any time to be one-on-one with God, enjoying each other's company, hearing God's voice speak to me personally, having God work with me and help me in areas where I knew that I had sin patterns and I needed transformation. All of that was being squeezed out, and I was just busy.
And so the idea then of establishing sacred rhythms, as I get it then, was something that you needed to become intentional about, because this is the thing that gets crowded out by
yes.
life if you're not careful.
Yes, and I think in the current culture, not just the secular culture, but also in the church culture, it's very intense. In some circles, it's very intense. It's very high performance. A lot is required of volunteers and leaders, and so it really can exhaust us, and we don't even realize that we're exhausted, or we come to the point of thinking that being exhausted in God's service is just somehow normal. And I meet a lot of people like that who just assume that it's normal to be this busy in God's service. It's just normal to be this busy in the Christian life. And that's something relatively new, I think, in the last 30 years or so. I'm a pastor's kid, so I've been raised in the church, and the kind of busyness that we're experiencing in the secular culture and in the church culture right now is very different than what I experienced growing up in a pastor's home.
Did you find in your own experience then that with all of your doing and all of your involvement in the church, there was an emptiness and a hollowness that you experienced perhaps in your relationship with God?
Yes, absolutely. And I was seeing it in the people around me as well. People had been in church for a very long time. People like me who had been in church all their lives, but they had lost their intimacy with God. There wasn't a lot of evidence of passion anymore for the things of God. The things of God had become obligatory, if you will, and they were tired, and they weren't transforming. That's the other thing. There's this issue of transformation. There's this issue of really changing, you know, that the heart of the gospel is that we can really change, that we can become like Christ. And what I was seeing is that it's possible to be in church all your life and be very busy in church and still be very selfish, still be very self-centered, still be competitive and mean-spirited and judgmental and rigid and legalistic, and that's not transformation. So the other question I was asking is, where is the transformation? I'm not seeing people changing, you know? In fact, I sometimes see people even more set in their ways after they have been in church for many, many years, more judgmental, more closed-minded in their thinking. That's really disturbing to me, because that's not who I think Jesus is.
Well, you've set us up. We have to come to the break. We have to take a little time off, but we're going to come back and we're going to talk about then what is transformation, and how are the sacred rhythms that Ruth has written about in her book, Sacred Rhythms, designed hopefully to bring us to the point not only where we get to know God, but that God actually begins to change us, to transform us into his own image. So Ruth will be back in 2 minutes. We'll pick up our conversation. This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, discover peace.
Would you please welcome the pride of Alexandria, Indiana, your host, Bill Gaither.
Hey, thanks, Bill, and welcome to Homecoming Radio. Do we ever have a great show for you?
You can hear some of the great music you grew up with on Bill Gaither's Homecoming Radio, Saturday evenings at 11 on Christian Talk 92.9.
Ever feel like there has to be a better way to manage your finances? Focus on the Family is proud to partner with Crown Money Life Coaching, the only award-winning online solution that effectively implements envelope budgeting for today's cashless world and provides you with a personal coach. And now you can get your first coaching session free of charge. That's right, it's completely free. Call Crown Money Life Coaching at 800-215-3147 to get started. Join thousands who are achieving financial success. That's 800-215-3147.
Before we rejoin today's program, let me say thank you for listening to Peace Talk. Each program comes with the prayer that you will find the peace that Jesus desires for you to enjoy today. But I'd like to take a minute to tell you about the website, peacetalk.com. Go to peacetalk.com and you'll discover that Peace Talk is more than teaching and great stories. We offer opportunities for bringing Peace Talk to you and your church. If you're caught in relationship-destroying conflict, at peacetalk.com, you can access relationship-restoring services. You will also find seminar retreat opportunities for your group. And at peacetalk.com, you can read the blog and sign up for our free email newsletter, Peace Mail. Follow us on Peace Talk and Twitter. And please, don't overlook the donate button, because Peace Talk needs your help. Peace Talk is all about you finding peace. Let's rejoin our program, and remember, Peace Talk is your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. I'm Larry Woods, your host, and we're glad to have you back. If you stuck with us through the break, we certainly are glad to have you rejoin us. If you're new, just picking us up there the second half, thank you for being a part of Peace Talk. Our guest today is Ruth Haley Barton, the author of the book Sacred Rhythms. And she's been talking about how in many cases the busyness of the world in which we live in can actually crowd out God, including even the busyness of church and our religious life can leave little room for God to actually work in us. So we're going to pick it up right there, Ruth. You mentioned as we left the transformed life. What do you define as the transformed life? And then go right to tell us, how does the sacred rhythms that you write about work into implanting Christ into us and changing us?
Yeah, well, that is the important question. What is transformation and how can we open ourselves to it? Transformation, in its simplest, most biblical definition, is the process by which Christ is formed in us. For the glory of God, because a transforming human being is a glory to God, pleases God, is a wonderful testimony to the power of God in our lives. It's also for the abundance of our own lives. Jesus promises that he comes to bring us an abundant life. And then also it is for the sake of others, in that Jesus loves the world, and if we become like Christ, we too will love the world and be engaged in loving the people that Jesus loves. So the process by which Christ is formed in us, for the glory of God, for the abundance of our own lives, and for the sake of others. And the spiritual practices, which make up our spiritual rhythms, they are concrete activities that we can engage in that actually open us to the transforming work of God. And when we talk about transformation, I think we need to be clear that we cannot bring about transformation ourselves, that it's not the kind of thing where if I grit my teeth and try really, really hard, I can transform myself. That's not how it works. Transformation is a mysterious work of God, and the language of Scripture actually alludes to the process, the mysterious process by which an embryo is formed in its mother's womb, or the way in which a caterpillar is transformed in its cocoon and eventually emerges as a brand-new, beautiful being. Those are the two metaphors that Paul uses in the New Testament to actually describe what transformation is. And both of those metaphors signify a certain mysteriousness to the process, right? So that, like, the formation of an embryo in its mother's womb, it's a very natural thing that happens. None of us got into this world any other way than that. But it's always a mystery and a miracle. There's no one who witnesses the birth of a baby who doesn't see it as being a miracle and a mystery. That, yes, there's a human action that initiates it, but there is something about the whole process that only God can bring about. And that's what we're talking about. In the realm of transformation, there's something that only God can do. And what we can do is find ways to open to that transforming process. And that, to me, is what the spiritual rhythms are. They are just ways of opening. And then God comes in and does the work that only God can do.
So what you're saying is, though spiritual transformation is a mystery, a work of the Holy Spirit, it's not accidental. There is a certain human intentionality that we bring to the point of actually putting ourselves in the place, opening ourselves to the Holy Spirit's work.
Exactly. And it's just finding ways to do that. And so that really the rest of the book is on the different practices that can help us to do that, the different rhythms that can help us to do that. The thing that I love about the language of rhythms, too, is that it's not just one static discipline, that usually there's a rhythmic relationship between two things that could be seen as being polar opposites. So, for instance, solitude and community. Those two things seem like they are opposites, but it's actually when we live our lives in rhythm between solitude and community that the transformation happens. And the beauty is in the rhythm, you know. So I like to encourage people to be really, really careful that we don't emphasize one thing to the exclusion of another.
Do you find that people will say when they sense a need, like for spiritual transformation, and they hear you and you are going to give them some ideas, what are these activities, that they tend to be kind of all or nothing or whole hog for one thing or another, and they lose the sense of rhythm and balance that's essential to this process?
Yes, I think so. And I think, you know, our personality types, we will most naturally choose those things that come naturally to our personality types. So a person who's more introverted might be more drawn to solitude, or a person who's extroverted might be more drawn to community, or a person who's intellectual might be more prone to Bible study, whereas someone who is more intuitive might be more drawn to finding themselves in the story or doing more reflective styles of reading. So we have to be careful to balance our personality types. And one of the things I think is very helpful is to understand that our personality type doesn't let us off the hook with any of the key spiritual disciplines. So just because I'm introverted, that doesn't mean I don't have to be a part of community. Just because I'm extroverted doesn't mean I don't have to practice solitude. It just means I might struggle with one more than another, and it gives me some insight about the struggle. But there are certain practices and rhythms that are basic to a healthy Christian life.
Do you sense that sometimes that struggle in a particular area, the intentionality that it takes to actually struggle, perhaps really does open us up in ways that just following our natural bent does not?
Yes, I think if we don't open up to the part that feels like it goes against our personality, then we become sort of unidimensional, one-dimensional people rather than fully orbed human beings. And so there's something about the spiritual transformation process that also has to do with becoming more fully orbed, more well-rounded. I still have my basic personality type, but I can engage the world and engage God in a well-rounded way.
Our guest today is Ruth Haley Barton, and we're talking about her book, Sacred Rhythms and Spiritual Transformation. Ruth, to the person that may be sitting there listening and say, I'm hearing all of this, I want it, what should I do? How should I take this interview, and what should I begin to do to understand what these sacred rhythms might be and how to implement them?
Wonderful. Well, the first chapter of the book starts in a very unusual place for some people. It starts by helping people and inviting people to get in touch with their desire along the lines of what Jesus did with some of the people that he healed in the New Testament, like the blind man in Mark 10, where Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" giving the blind man an opportunity to really touch his deepest need and to express that to Jesus. I encourage people to start by paying attention to their spiritual desire, which for many people is counterintuitive, it's uncomfortable, they're not used to doing it, and so that's a pretty big step in and of itself, to hear Jesus' invitation to us, what is it you want me to do for you? Because the beauty is then that the spiritual practices actually correspond to different ones of our human spiritual longings. So the desire for more intimacy with God can be met through practices of solitude and silence. The desire to hear a word from the Lord and to develop a conversational relationship with God, that can be met through certain practices related to Scripture. The desire to have a friendship with God. Prayer is the kind of currency of our friendship with God. It's the pattern of communing and communication that characterizes all human relationships. So prayer cultivates a friendship with God. Our desire to be transformed and to move beyond our sin patterns. The practice of self-examination helps us to do that, helps us to open to self-awareness, helps us to open a space for God to show us where we're not like Christ and where we could, you know, become more like Christ and be more intentional in that particular area. The longing that we have not to be so tired in our lives and to be rested and alert. Well, the discipline of Sabbath keeping helps us with are longing to live lives that are more sane and rested. So that's the beauty. If we can start by getting in touch with our spiritual desire and pray out of that place and tell God what we're longing for and what we're desiring, then we can explore some of the spiritual disciplines that will correspond to our deepest spiritual longings, and we can open up to the presence of God that can meet us in the midst of our longing through these practices.
I think you're saying, aren't you, that those spiritual desires, those things which we desire, are probably put there by God as the door in which He wants to speak to us and wants to enter into our lives.
Yes, absolutely. And many of us have an uncomfortable relationship with our desire, because especially those of us who've been raised in strict religious environments, some of us have lived with shame a lot and think that our desires are always going to be bad and wrong, and that if you pay attention to your desire, you're going to get in trouble, you know? And so there's kind of a shift that needs to take place where we realize that there are some desires of the heart that God Himself has placed within us and that God Himself promises to meet. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and He will give you desires of your heart. There are desires of the heart that God longs to meet, which means that we're going to need to pay attention to what those desires are.
We're running to the end of the program, Ruth. What would you say to the person to say, well, if I get into these sacred rhythms and I sense transformation, what will my life look like at that point? What's the benefit of this kind of intentionality to know God?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are lots of benefits. The overarching theme being that we become more like Christ, but there are very specific ways that we become more like Christ relative to the different disciplines. The practice of solitude and silence definitely cultivates within us greater trust and peace in God, and we begin to develop and cultivate a calm center within us where we can hear God, where we know who we are in God, and where we can hear what's most needed in the moments of our lives and actually respond more consistently with who Jesus is. So that's a beautiful thing when it happens. The practices of self-examination, self-knowledge, repentance, confession, those practices help us to acknowledge the places of sin in our lives and to allow God to lead us in the everlasting way, to allow God to lead a process of transformation. Certainly these spiritual practices help us to become more loving people, because if we're going to become like Christ, the kingpin of our spiritual life is that we're becoming more loving. It is the ultimate measurement of whether or not we're becoming more like Christ, whether or not we're being transformed, is whether or not we're loving God and loving others. And so any true spiritual practice is going to help us to become more loving with ourselves, with God, with the world, with those we're close with. And so those are the kinds of results that happen when we begin to get closer to Jesus and allow Jesus' character to be formed in us.
Well, I trust that somebody listening to the program, your heart is resonating with this, that you're being instructed that maybe something that you've been sensing that you're missing in your life, that maybe sacred rhythms by Ruth Haley Barton is something that you could get at your bookstore, go to Amazon, take a look at the book, and see if perhaps the busyness of the world has just crowded God out, and that a different approach, a greater intentionality to get in touch with yourself and to get in touch with the God who's working in you is exactly what these sacred rhythms are for. Thank you, Ruth, for being a part of Peace Talk today. I know you've been a blessing to our listeners, and we trust they'll pay attention to Ruth Haley Barton and her book, Sacred Rhythms. Thank you for being a part today of Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.